Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this, take the limit off.
What's up, Chicago? Yes, sir. It's about to go down, y'all. It's Praise Break 5. You might as well go ahead and bless
no
them all.
No limit!
It's the hottest radio show in the land. Taking on the Fast Radio is on the air. That's right. We are on the air broadcasting live, as always. Broadcasting live, as always, from the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. That's right. The birthplace of gospel music. And as always, it's your boy, your host, the one, the only, Minister Dana L. King, in the studio with you today on this Praise Break Friday. Man, and it's just so much we have to be thankful for. I don't know about y'all. I don't know about y'all, but man, look here. There's so much to be thankful for. You might as well go ahead and give God some praise and some worship on today. I just want to go ahead and make that real clear. God has been too good. Let me say it again. He's been too good, and he's worthy of all of the praise. So we're going to go ahead and bless him on today. What's going on, Sister Lisette Herndon? God bless you. And Leg Lady, I'm speaking early because I see y'all in there already. But let me go ahead and give you the rundown on how you could be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, meaning you've already dialed in, all you got to do is push 1. That'll get you to my producer, the best producer in the land, the one, the only, the Tanya Melton on the other side of the glass, handling all of the business. She's on the other side. That'll get you to her. She'll check you out, make sure you saved and know the Lord just a little bit, and then she'll get you over to me. Amen, amen, and amen. If you want to call into the show, that's simple, real easy to do. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. That's how you can be a part of the show as well. 323-870-4375 is your call-in number. If you want to email the show, got it? If you want to email the show, you can email the show. Our brand new email address is the TTLO show. The TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. Yeah, that's right. Y'all heard me. It's the TTLO show, TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. That's the new email address. If y'all still use the old one, y'all know it. Still get that email. I'm just not going to be using it anymore. But the email address again, let me say it again. It's the TTLO show at TTLOmedia.net. That's right. That's right. TTLO show. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's right. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can tweet the show. If you want to follow us on the gram, that's right. If you want to follow us on the gram, you can do that as well. Follow us on the gram at TTLO Radio. That's right. Same thing at TTLO Radio. Two T's, one L, one O. TTLO Radio is where you can find us on the gram. If you want to, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO radio, facebook.com/TTLO radio, two T's, one L, one O. That's right. Facebook.com is where you can find us there. And don't forget, the live stream is up and running. So y'all come on in the room. Jesus is my doctor. Come on in the room, man. Come on in the room. You can find us on Facebook Live. Facebook Live is up and running. Y'all can come on in. Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO radio, facebook.com/TTLO radio is where you can find us there. And don't forget to our iHeart Radio partners. So you can find us on your iHeart Radio app. Just do a simple search for the TTLO radio show. Do for the TTLO media group. Sorry. Do a simple search for the TTLO media group. You will find us there. Not only will you find the TTLO radio show, but you'll also find every Tuesday Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. That's right, Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Real talk, real issues, real solutions, right here every Tuesday at her new start time, 5:30 p.m. every Tuesday, right here on the TTLO Media Group Network. Then on, don't forget, too, you can also find Kitchen Chronicles every Tuesday, somewhere around 7:15, 7:30, right here on the TTLO Media Group Network. Then on Thursdays, she's been on a little hiatus, but she will be back. We're going to get it all situated over the weekend, but she's on a little hiatus. But the Grindology Show will be back, but it is on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Had a good rebroadcast last night, one of her more popular shows. Great show last night, but you can catch that every Thursday with your girl, Lisette Herndon, here on the TTLO Media Group Network. All of your marketing, branding, small business, nonprofits, website building, all of that stuff that you would need if you're trying to be a startup, or even if you got a big business and you're just trying to rebrand your big business, that's the show for you. It's the Grindology Show every Thursday at 7 p.m. Don't forget, too, you can also find us on all of your anywhere you can listen to a podcast. You can download a podcast. You can find us there. So that means on Blogger, on iTunes, on Spotify, any of those places. And and last but not least, don't forget too, starting off your week, starting off your week on Sundays at 11 o'clock, you can hear the live online service of the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. That's right. You can hear the online service for the birthplace of gospel music right here, Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, live every Sunday at 11 o'clock right here on the TTLO Media Group Network. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, there it is. Oh, it was a son, not a daughter. All right. Man, you know, so much crazy. I shouldn't say crazy. It's just life is just life, and life is just continuing to go on. And I want to just go ahead and send out some condolences quick, man. On the way in here, I got some bad news about one of my long, long time, lifelong friends. I'm going to say she was about maybe 5 years younger than me. Passed away today at 3:30 at 3:30 p.m. So I want to send some love and some support out to the Fowles family. Some of my old Wilcox crew, sent some love and support out to the Fowles family over on the west side of Chicago. Lost a mother, a sister. It's crazy the way people are leaving here today. And then I didn't even get in here and get comfortable. And the phone rings while we in the process of getting the show up and running. And I get a call that we've lost one of my good members here at the birthplace, lost her son today. So we want to send a prayer out for Sister Sally Hogan. She's also a fan of the show. She watches and listens to the show. Sister Sally Hogan lost her son on today. So, man, it's a lot. There is a lot going on, and it's, I know it's easy to say trust God, but man, if when there's nothing else left to do, all you can do is trust God, and so I just want to keep those families lifted up in prayer. The Hogan family, the McNair family, because that's her son's last name, McNair. And then also the family of Roshonda Fowles. Man, just amazing, amazing, amazing that people are leaving here. And you know, it just lets you know that life is just too short. It is. Life is extremely too short for people to be for grudges, for. And I've said this on this show too many times, and I feel like I've said it too many times. And the fact that I've said it too many times just lets you know that it's still happening. But life is too short for grudges and walking around angry. And because people are leaving here every day. And I shouldn't even say every day, every minute somebody is leaving this place. somebody is losing a loved one or whatever. And we just need to make sure, man, for one, first of all, that we're right with God, right? That we're right there first, and then get right with your family. Get right with the people that matter. Let me say that again. Let me make sure I say that right, because I don't want nobody running up trying to kiss nobody's butt or none of that kind of stuff. But get right with your people, man. Get, you know, do what you have to do to make sure that you're putting some closure on some things. And I know a lot of things don't get to get closed. A lot of things you don't get to get closure from a lot of things. But in the long run, how important is it that you walk around sad, bitter, angry, disappointed, and you spend so much time focusing on that you miss out on just the everyday of getting an opportunity to show love and share love, and also receive love, right? So you, man, just make sure you're in a good place with the people, man. So it's not easy. Trust me, when people have wronged you, when you've done nothing, when people just don't like you because of who you are, when people just don't like your success, or people don't like what they deem as your success. Because you know, folks will not like you because they think you got something that they should have, and they don't really know that they don't know the cost of what it costs for you to get it. My God, I just helped myself. But you know, folk will be angry with you and walk around upset because they're thinking you got something or you're holding on to something that they should get, or they're jealous or envious of what they believe your position is. And so now they become stagnant. Why do you say stagnant, preacher? They become stagnant because they're holding on to a belief, not a reality, a belief. They're holding on to a belief that you're stopping them, or you having what you have is stopping them from getting what they believe they should be getting. And because of that, they refuse to grow. Can I share something with y'all? I had an interesting moment the other day. So I was at my mom's house, and she has a plant, and I think she had replanted a plant. Tanya, I don't know if I shared this with you. She had replanted a plant, and that was a different plant. She replanted a plant. And so the plant is sitting on her middle cocktail table. I don't know if they still call it that, but it's sitting on her middle table. And it's sitting there, and I'm sitting on the couch. And I've never seen this before. It's the weirdest thing. I see the plant is standing up tall, and I literally see the leaves, a whole little leaf section of the plant, start to just go down. And so I looked, and I'm like, did the plant just move? And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm tired, whatever the situation is. But the plant was literally going down. And then the next thing I know, I stopped looking at it, and then I watched the plant literally just start to wilt down because the plant had no water. The plant was dry. So I'm like, man, what's going on with this plant? So I put my hands in the dirt, and I realized that, and so I didn't know what was what. So I'm thinking to myself, well, the blinds are open. Maybe it's getting too much sun. So the first thing I did was I got up and I closed my mother's blinds. I said, well, maybe it's getting too much sun. But the plant was still going down. So I put my hands in the dirt, and that's when I'm like, oh, this thing is dry. So I ran in the back, and I got a little plant water thingy and brought that up there, and I put water in the plant. And sure enough, about 30 minutes later, you literally could watch the plant literally come back to life. And the reason I brought that up to y'all right now is this: a lot of people are like that plant. They will sit there, and rather than go and do what's necessary, now the plant doesn't have an option. The plant depends on you to water it. Oh, I'm helping somebody. The plant depends on you to water it. But what happened is this: a lot of people will sit there instead of them going to get what they need, Oh, God, help me. Instead of them going to get what they need, they will sit there angry and die in the midst of suffering, knowing their suffering, but won't change their belief system, won't change their mindset, and they would rather just sit and suffer instead of changing my position. Instead of changing my position, I'd rather sit here and suffer. How many folk know what I'm talking about? I wish we could get some folk who recognize that it's that there's nothing wrong with changing your position. There's nothing wrong with changing your position. I told you all, I need to start, and I said I was going to get it. I have a hard copy, and I'm going to have to see about getting the digital version again. See if I can get the digital version. I'm trying to see if is it worth my and probably is, because it was a great book. But T.D. Jakes wrote an amazing book. When was that book written? It was called, the name of the book is titled Reposition Yourself. Reposition yourself. And it says living life without limits. Reposition yourself, living life without limits. And it's just one of those books where you just get some, he just gives you some amazing insight, and just the names of the different chapters, but it talks mainly about one of the main points was the courage to confront or facing your own indifference. That one just is there. Don't ask me why, but it's the courage to confront or facing your own indifference. Right. And the scripture that he used for his guiding scripture for that particular chapter of his book was the John 8:32 scripture where it says, ye shall know the truth and the truth will say, first of all, you have to admit the truth about yourself. It's just one of those things where you have to be willing to say, you know what, this is who I am. This is where I am. Acknowledge where you are. If you won't acknowledge where you are, you'll never get where you think you're supposed to be going. Can I help you? The worst thing you can do, and I'm talking to my brothers out here, this was before we had all this wonderful technology in our cars and everything else. But you know, the worst thing you can do when you're lost is to keep driving in the wrong direction. Having too much pride to admit that you're lost. So the only way you're going to get where you're trying to go is first admitting, I don't know where I'm stuck or I'm lost. So you have to, you got to be willing to admit this, right? And look, it ain't about admitting it to nobody else. Come on now, David Whitmore, know thyself. You gotta be willing to say, you know what? I don't have a clue to where I am. And I was never one of those prideful dudes when I first started driving, when I started taking road trips. You know, y'all remember we used to MapQuest? Y'all know we used to print out like 72 sheets. You know, now the skilled road trip people, they had the map in the car, right? They had the map that you fold out. But when you're driving by yourself, you ain't really reading no map, you know. So, you know, good old MapQuest just gave you, you know, MapQuest was before you had the, you had MapQuest because we couldn't afford the TomToms and the, what was the other, Granger, what was it called? Garmin, thank you. We couldn't afford them Garmins when they first came out. Them Garmins was like, you know, they were like $400-$500. So, you know, we went to work and we, because we ain't had no printers at home, we printed out MapQuest. Like, where y'all going this weekend? Let me get this MapQuest real quick. So, but here is the deal. You got to know where you're going. And when you get lost, I never had a problem with pulling over to a store or a gas station, asking somebody, can you tell me how to get to this road? Never had that problem. Because here's the problem. I see all my Garmin people answering. when you have a problem, you'll never get there. You'll never get there. And watch this. Even when you know, come on now, even when you know where you're going, but all of a sudden a roadblock takes you off of the path you're familiar with. Oh God, I feel teachy. Not preachy, but teachy. When you know the road that you're used to going on, the one you're familiar with. But there's a detour, and now that detour takes you off of the path you're comfortable with. Now all of a sudden you're trying to figure out, how do I get around this obstacle? How do I get around this obstacle? What do I need to do to get me back on the right path? Now I don't know that street, but I can only go east or west. And I got to go one of these directions to get back to the direction that I'm in. I'm trying to go south, but the road but it's making me get off. And I either got to go way east or way west to find another road so I can head south. My God, difficult. It's difficult for folks when you're prideful to want to say, well, I'm just going to keep going. You've passed 22 gas stations, but I'm going to keep going. I know I need to go back south, but you're going to go way out the way. And watch this. You end up putting yourself in a worse position than you would have if you had just said, Lord, I need help. My God. Come on, Dr. Brown. He says, and if we're not careful, we can wander aimlessly for years. Come on, sir. You got a lot of folk right now, man. Look, you're going to make me preach now. You got a lot of folk who have been just wandering around aimlessly for years. What do you mean, preacher? Stuck in a job you know you should have been out of a long time ago. My God. Like the children of Israel on a journey that should have took 7 days. When they were just going up the road. 40 years. Because of disobedience. Because of stubbornness. Because of arrogance. Because of pride. Because of conceit. Not wanting to admit that we don't have a clue. That we don't have all the answers. Now don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being frustrated by not knowing something. I get real frustrated. Look, I am the person who wants to be able to put stuff together and do it right. I'll give you a good example. So show you how nice I am. I'm finna pat my own stuff on the back. So my ex-wife number two, she works from home. Ex-wife number two. So she don't have a clue about nothing technological. Right. So she called me because her computer that she works for Social Security, her computer that she uses died, and they sent her a new one with a brand new docking station and everything. Now, I hooked up the first one. She was ex-wife number two at that time, too. But I hooked up the first one. So she calls me. So I go out there and hook up the second one. So I looked at it and I was like, I said, I can hook this up. I was like, name that tune. I can name that tune in five tunes, Alex. That wasn't the guy's name, but you know what I mean. but I said, I can put this thing together without looking at the directions. And so I started, I got the laptop out. I got the new a docking station out, and I'm running the cords, and I'm looking, and I get everything there. And then right when I think it's supposed to be good, it's something missing. And now, young Dana, would have sat there for 3 hours refusing to look at the direction and said, I know it. I know I got it right. They sent it wrong. See, that's right. I know I got it. I'm going to hook it up this way. Right. I'm going this way. And so sure enough, after about 5 good minutes, I said, where the instructions at? I said, where the instructions at? Because I needed to see. And sure enough, that extra time I spent looking, had I just took a quick look at least at the diagram, I would have saved myself a little. Now, I didn't spend a long, whole lot of time, but I use that because it's okay to get frustrated when you think you know something. There's nothing wrong with that. It's when you allow that frustration to lead you or hinder you. Come on now. Dr. Charles says, sometimes it's not pride. Sometimes it's fear or shame due to being ridiculed, laughed at, disappointed, or let down in the past. Yeah. But even that, Dr. Brown, even in that, that cannot be our driving force. Fear and shame cannot be what drives us, at least not in a negative way. Now, if you're going to use fear to drive you towards something positive, that's one thing. Fear of failure, that's one thing. But fear of being ridiculed, so rather than be ridiculed, I'll sit over here and suffer. I'll sit and starve rather than tell somebody I don't have anything to eat. Even though there's food pantries on every corner, I ain't got no groceries. I don't want nobody to see me in the food pantry line. What's the scripture? Pride come before the fall. Isn't that what scripture is that? Somebody help me. I don't feel like Googling. But we have to move beyond that. And we spend so much time wrapped up in all of these different things. And Dr. Brown, I'm glad you said that. We spend so much time about worrying about ridicule and all those things that we'd rather stay stuck. We'd rather stay unfulfilled. Right. Why sit here and die? Oh, my God. Why sit here and get mad and why be like that man by the I just went here the other day. Why be like that man by the pool of Bethesda waiting on somebody else? I tell people all the time, check your circle. And the reason I used to say that, and I haven't gotten away from it, the reason I used to say it so much is because you need people in your circle. Watch this. It's great to have fans. It's great to have cheerleaders. It's great to have a support system. But you also need some people in your circle that's going to push you. You need some people in that. That's why, you know, all of us, any of us can go and get a gym membership. Any of us can go and go to the gym and do enough just to say we worked out. Right. Any of us can do that. But some people have a need for a trainer. And you say, well, why do we need a trainer? Because you need somebody to push you beyond what you are comfortable with. You need somebody to push you beyond what feels normal to you. This pandemic, come on back. Woo, God, thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost, work with me. This pandemic has pushed us beyond and out of our comfort zones. But some of us have refused the lesson. And honestly, I'm going to say it like this. I believe the reason this thing has not left, The reason this thing is still here is because there are some who do not want to make adjustments. They just want, it'll pass, and we'll go back to where we was doing before. It will pass, and we'll go back to where we were before. It's going to pass, and when it passes, we'll be all right. But that's the same thing that the children of Israel did in the wilderness. They said, we're going to do what we've been doing. We're going to do what we've been doing. And before you know it, 40 years had passed and generations, decades of people had died off. Why? Because they would not learn what God was teaching them. Thank you, Tanya, Proverbs 16:18. Dr. Brown said, and that causes even more frustration because you want to move forward but stuck in fear. Mm. There are too many examples that God has given us of people who could have just sat there and died, but rather than sit and die, they didn't allow their circumstance or their situation to hold. They did not become victim to their surrounding. Oh, my God. They did not become victims to their surroundings. They did not let what was happening to them stop them from their goal. I want to help somebody. You got to be willing to say, yes, I'm in a difficult situation. Yeah, admit it. I'm lost. I'm driving. I don't know where I am. Difficult situation, difficult relationship, difficult job, difficult financial situation, whatever it is. You got to first admit, yes, where we are or where it is right now is rough. It's okay to admit that. And look, you ain't got to tell the world. Admit it to yourself and whomever you're going to seek counsel from. But what you can't do is let that prison of ridicule or that prison of frustration or that prison of disappointment or that prison of lack hold you captive. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So what are you saying? That means, look here, I know you're in a bad spot. I know you've had a few bad months. I know 2020 has pretty much taken you out spiritually, mentally, some folk physically. I mean, 2020 has drained us. We feel like we have been on, I've never been on house arrest, but I almost feel like I know what it's like. You can't go nowhere but someplace or work release. You can only go here, go do this, and come back home. That's all you can do. But there is a word, oh God, there is a word. Come here, Paul and Silas. Y'all know the story, Acts chapter 16. Only reason I know this one so well because Fred Hammond used it in his song when he restarted Blessed. But old girl said, Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. But the Bible says, and at midnight, oh God, Paul and Silas sang praises. Woo! Paul and Silas prayed, and sang praises unto God. Watch this. And the prisoners heard them. Paul and Silas never prayed to God, get me out of this situation. That was never the prayer. Ah, my God. Y'all, I hope somebody get this, because if y'all don't get it, I'm going to get it myself. I might have to go run a lap in the sanctuary. But Paul and Silas, watch this. They never prayed for release or relief from their situation. The Bible says they prayed and sang praises. My God. So in the midst of their situation, they decided we're going to, watch this, we going to praise God in the prison. And they didn't pray. And watch this. It wasn't quiet. It wasn't quaint. It wasn't petite. It wasn't none of it. It was loud. It was probably ignorant. It was all that. They praised God. And the Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. Oh, God, I feel all right. And the prisoners heard them. Then, you know, it says, and then suddenly there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors flew open and all of their bands were loosed. Not because they said, Lord, open the door. It's because they said, Lord, we're going to praise you in this situation. Hurting, I'm going to praise you. Oh, God. Ah. Toe up, I'm going to praise you. Bleeding, I'm going to praise you. Disappointed, I'm going to praise you. Depressed, I'm going to praise you. Frustrated, I'm going to praise you. Broke, I'm going to praise you. Homeless, whatever it is, I'm going to praise you despite my situation and circumstances. I dare one of y'all just to come on and just, whoo. I dare some of y'all just to say, you know what, I know my situation is rough, but you know what, I'm not going to ask God not one more time about my situation. I'm just going to praise God about my situation. I'm going to praise God for who he is in the midst of my situation. That's what I'm going to do. You waiting on the mortgage guy to call you back about the house? Don't worry about it. Just praise the Lord. You did what you were supposed to do. Praise God. You waiting on your kids to start acting right? You ain't got to keep hollering at them kids. You did what you did. Now turn them over to the Lord and just start praising God. You worried for your spouse, your husband, your wife to start acting right or stop doing this or doing that? You know what? Just pray. Look, praise God. Because, see, when the atmosphere changes, and come on now, when the atmosphere changes, everybody ain't going to be able to sustain in that atmosphere. Oh, God, I feel all right. Everybody ain't going to look here. Because when the glory comes in, everybody ain't going to be able to stand it. So if God says he going to remove these people or this person from out of your life, well, he going to correct some people, trust me, once they've been in the presence, they're not going to remain the same. Yeah. Come on, elect lady. She said, I'm just going to praise God. That's it. We gotta elevate ourselves. Or back to the book, reposition ourselves. If the roof is leaking, why would I stand here and get wet when I can simply change my position? If something keeps hitting me, why not just change my position? If I know every time I turn that corner, I keep hitting the same pothole every time because I'm too busy, too distracted. How about I just change positions? How about I just do something different? And sometimes, and watch this. This is where fear, I'm going to go back to Dr. Brown. This is where fear comes in because a lot of times we think it's something drastic. We think we got to change. We got to make a major change. We all of a sudden believe, or it's got to be, you know, we decide, instead of bringing a scalpel and doing the surgery the right way, we come in with a hammer. Lissette says, he doesn't remove people and obstacles for you. He removed them so his assignment in you can be continued to be fulfilled. Yeah. And watch this, Lissette. I'm going to hit you the other way. Watch this. Some people he will put there just so he can prepare you for the assignment. Ah. God. Sometimes he will allow the obstacle or the people to show up. Come on now. I feel all right. He will allow the people to show up Because sometimes you have to be primed. Sometimes you got to be put into the refiner's fire. And maybe that's just that one person or those group of people who do that. And those are the only people that can do it to you. And so God says, I'm going to leave them people right there so you can learn how to walk through the fire and not get burned. Come on, three boy, Hebrew boy. Huh? I'm going to leave the fire. Look here. Look here. He don't put out the fire. He just takes the heat out of it. The late Bishop, Moles, y'all know, famous for the war cry. The late Bishop Moles say he'll take the strength out of defeat. What that mean? That means, yeah, you still lost, but the loss don't break you. Oh, God. Shit. This getting good to me, y'all. I need to be writing this down. This good. This a preach by itself. Look here. I'm trying to tell somebody now. Y'all got to get this, man. Y'all got to get this. You cannot allow. I said this before. Look, don't die in the pit. That's it. That in the pit situation. Don't die in the pit. Don't allow the pit to kill you. It's not worth it. I remember y'all know the movie. One of my favorite movies. A lot of people don't like it because they couldn't get into it. But y'all remember the movie The Matrix? The movie The Matrix. When Neo went to go find out if he was the one, and he said the little boy said, he was like, you're bending the spoon. Remember the whole bend the spoon trick from the movie The Matrix? You have to think about the wording in that. That's a message in that. The little boy said, don't try to bend the spoon, he said, because that's impossible. He said, this is what he told him, because they was inside the Matrix. Watch this. He said, don't try to bend the spoon because that's impossible. That's impossible. He says, instead, only try to realize the truth that because of where you are, that there is no spoon. He says, then you'll see that it's not the spoon that bends. It's only you. Oh, God, y'all just that's Jesus. I don't know why that just popped in my head. Look here. You don't allow, oh, God, the situation to break you. Because what you have to realize is that the situation really has no power over you. Oh, I'm going to help somebody. Did I just preach The Matrix? I'm going to help somebody. That came from the book of Neo 5 and 13. I wish y'all would get this. I wish y'all would get it. You gotta be able to realize that all of this stuff, at the end of the day, God is still bigger. Come on, please say, I love the oracle. Come on now. God is still bigger. And in the sight of God, your depression has no authority. In the sight of God, your ridicule, your frustration has no authority. It has no power. Bending, come on now, to God's will. That's right. Look, you fighting some stuff because you're too rigid. God, I feel, look, I ain't never been into architecture. But one of the things I found out is when they build skyscrapers, when they get up so far in the air, they're built so that when they get a good wind, that they actually do shift. Oh, God. They shift so that the wind does not have the same power that it would have if it was stiff and rigid. So instead of allowing the wind to break them, oh God, the wind just bends them slightly. And then they're restored. Oh my God. That's all God. Look, God ain't trying to break you. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of us, we're a little hard-headed. We need to be broken. Ah. But watch this. Even when God breaks the situation, he still leaves you some broken pieces to make it to shore in. Oh, God, I feel all right now. He still leaves you some pieces. Ooh. Sometimes you don't need all that stuff. Carrying all them bags. Carrying all that mess. All of that stuff. All of that disappointment, all of those years of anger, all of whatever your family did to you way back in the day, all of how they mistreated you, all of that, you're still walking around carrying them bags. But if I could preach from the book of Badu, bag lady, you going to hurt your back. Carrying all that stuff, huh? Let some of that stuff go. Check that bag and see what's really needed on your journey. Huh? Some of y'all still let ninjas live rent free in y'all head. I said ninjas. I caught myself. I was about to go there though. We ain't got no real mute button around here. But some of y'all let these folk live rent free. I mean rent free all in your head. All day. And they ain't thought about you. Thinking about you. And you, not only are they living rent free, they got several rooms. Got their feet up. Hey, what's going on? How you doing? Thinking about me today? And you miss out on so much. It's like the difference. Watch this. It's like the difference between, y'all know I'm a road trip guy, right? I like road trips. You notice how you see stuff? There's a difference from what you see when you're driving versus when you're the passenger. Because when you're the passenger, you're along for the ride. And you get to see things that the driver does not get to see. You get to pay longer attention to things than the driver does. And so you start seeing things and you get to admire them. And then based off what you see, you start planning. You say, oh, you know what? I didn't know that was there. We gonna stop there on the way back. Say what? Well, no, not they ride with me. Everybody know I don't stop. Thank you, Tony. Thank you very much. Next time talking to Mike. But we can get so caught up in the journey that we forget what's going on and that we forget what's going on. We can get so caught up on the end that we forget the training in the middle. And the problem is so many of us have been frustrated for so long. We felt denied for so long. We felt unappreciated or unfulfilled for so long that we want to just get to the end. And so we will get there and then realize that there were things that God was trying to show us along the way. God saying, I was going to let you get to the destination, but I was trying to prepare you. And God says, now you beat me there. Now you got to sit there and wait. Oh, my God. There's something. There has to be a change. I don't even know if I want to do this article now. There has to be a shift. Yeah, I might though, because it's good. It is good. There has to be a shift. If y'all look at, I don't want to talk. Just I know y'all listening and y'all watching and whatever else on Blog Talk and Facebook and everywhere else and on TTLO. I know y'all listening, whatever. If you got something to add, call in 323-870-4375. That's the call in number, 323-870-4375. That is the call in number. You want to add something to this, man? If you feeling what you look here, if you buying what I'm selling tonight, come on. Oh my God, it's just something. We have to learn how to start enjoying the journey. Enjoying the journey. And stop being so hell bent the nation. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So stop worrying about what's at the end of it. Oh, God. Mm. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. So watch this. Yes, I'm going through some dry places, and I can look at them and see them. But I'm not going to let them stop me. I'm not going to let them hinder me. When are we going to be ready to adjust? When are we going to be ready to reposition ourselves? 323-870-4375. That's the call-in number, 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. Just if you call in, push 1, that'll let us know. You are there. Amen. Amen. I feel like part of my calling, and I've always had questions because I ask God all the time, why would you call me to be an irritant to people? I said, why would you call me and then give me what you give me, and then because of the calling, I become an irritant to people? And I said, wow. I started thinking about this the other day. I said, as I'm sitting here trying to figure this out, and it just hit me. It said, when God is calling you to do stuff, it's not everybody that God called did not become popular. The ministry that they were called to did not make them popular. And when I say popular, I don't mean didn't make them known. I mean it didn't make them a fan favorite. That's what I mean. It didn't make them a fan favorite. I'm okay with where I am. And I'm getting better with where I'm not. If that made any sense to anybody. I'm okay where I am, and I'm getting better with where I'm not. Because I can't worry about where, I can't be so driven about where I haven't gotten to yet. Or what I don't have yet, that I forget to honor where God has allowed me to go thus far. When we can get to that place, God can use us even more, even the more. When we can get to that place. But as long as we're stuck and we're so driven. And there's nothing wrong with being driven. But what's driving you is the question. What's driving you? What's driving you? My God. So this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, I think we are going to go ahead and jump into our conversation for tonight. Is your worship driven by entertainment or by participation? Is your worship driven by entertainment or by participation? That's our topic of conversation for the evening. Let's do this. Where is my boy John P. Key? Because I think I want to put this out. I want to send this one out to the Hogan and McNair family and the Fowles family right now. Old John P. Key standing in the need of prayer. We'll be right back, y'all. TT's 1810. My God, my God. good old Don P. Keene standing in the need of prayer. Still hit, y'all. Got this good article. I can tell you right now, it's already a good article. Again, I want to make sure I am pushing people to I'm not asking people to necessarily reconcile. I'm asking people to just forgive and keep it moving, right? I want people just to remember that in this time when people are leaving here and we arguing and fighting and families been feuding for 35, 45 years for something that somebody did that ain't even living no more. You know, we see those things play out all the time in different movies. You know, what's that TV show? Greenleaf. You know, folk dead and family still reeling from what nobody wanted to acknowledge while the person was alive, and now that person is dead, but y'all still ain't right. You know, so stuff happened. But again, it's about what you allow to drive you. What drives you? What drives you? What pushes you? What are the things that drives you? So again, tonight our topic of conversation is this. It is simply, is your worship driven by entertainment or by participation? Is your worship driven by entertainment or by participation? That's our topic of conversation for today. In this time frame, I want to make sure we're understanding exactly when we talk about worship, what's driving your worship? What's driving your worship? What's the thing that's pushing your worship? What are you motivated by when it comes to worship? What's driving it? What's pushing it? Those are the things that's the question that's being asked. That's the question that's being asked. Is your worship driven by entertainment or participation? The writer said this. He says, in my first foray into public ministry, he says, I was met with what I deemed to be a highly unusual request. One of the elders of the church in which I was serving asked me to refer to the printed order of worship as a playbill. Wow. As a playbill, he says, rather than a bulletin. He says, this struck me as strange for a number of reasons, not least of which is that I couldn't wrap my mind around how doing such would appeal to those visiting. However, a deeper concern revolved around my suspicion that this man considered worship to be a spectator sport, a baptized version of theater. Wow. He says, though our elements of worship were reflective of a historic Reformed liturgy, the telos of what we were doing in worship was not as clearly defined. He said, this is no doubt a common issue among churches throughout the Western world. We live in an entertainment-driven culture, and as such, see many seeking to cater to such a mindset. Uh-oh. He says, turning worship into a spectator event is to miss the rich participatory nature of corporate worship. In the section on the parts of public worship, the OPC, Director of Public Worship, rightly notes that worship is not a spectator sport. It says, a triune God is not a passive spectator in public worship, but actively works in each element of the service of worship. Neither are the people of God to be passive spectators in public worship, but by faith are to participate actively in each element of the service of worship. In the gathered assembly, there are multi-directional dimensions to various elements of worship. He says, we gather together on the Lord's Day to look vertically, horizontally, outwardly, inwardly, backwardly, forwardly, in the elements that guide a biblical and God-honoring worship service. He says, there is first a vertical dimension at work. A vertical dimension at work. The people of God come together to lift up their hearts and voices to God, who is enthroned above. Come on now. Christians gather to listen to the God who speaks through his son in the scriptures, and he sends his word out to accomplish his purposes. At the same time, we respond to the word coming down from the triune God by listening to him, singing his praises, confessing our sins to him, and receiving from him assurance of his pardoning grace as well as his benediction. Ah. Then he says, watch this. I love this. First, can we pause for a second? Because what time is it? It's 8:21. All right, we good. Here is the deal. That vertical worship, meaning it's flowing up and down. It's us sending up what we have, and it's him responding by sending us what he has. Oh, vertical. Vertical. So when we're sending up praises, when we're sending up Judah, come on now, we're receiving assurances from him in faith. So when I praise God on Sundays, even when I don't feel like it, I'm praising him in faith. I'm praising him in faith because my faith tells me he hears me and that he responds to me in faith. Even if I don't see it, even if I don't see it manifested physically, my faith tells me that spiritually it's on the way. Ah, shit. Spiritually, I believe it's on the way. So then he says, the writer says, there's also a horizontal dimension to worship. He says the people of God are to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I preached that before. Hebrews 10:24. He says there are 59 one another passages in the New Testament that can only be understood in the light of the relationship each believer has to other believers in the same worshiping community. Ooh, I don't hear anybody saying nothing. That got real quiet. I don't see a thumb, a heart, or nothing. That's all right. Let me talk to the microphone. Here's the deal. Anytime the Bible is saying the same thing 59 times, it's trying to solidify something in you. It's already solidified, but it's trying to solidify it in you, pushing each other toward his good works. People. Pushing each other. That's where it comes from. Not pushing each other into bad behavior, but pushing each other toward good work. The writer says this. He said, gathered worshipers. We talked about that was the horizontal dimension. That was the horizontal dimension. Watch this. That was the horizontal dimension. Gathered worshipers, he says, also carries with it backwards dimension to worship. He says, we gather to remember all that God has done in salvation history. So, right, we think back. Mm-hmm. We think back to all of the things that he's done previously. Come on now. We gather to remember all that God has done in salvation history. Then it says, we are reminded of his powerful works and that he has shown the powerful works that he's shown toward his people. Woo. My God. Psalm 111, 2 and 4 says this. Come on, Pastor. He says, great are the works of the Lord. This is the English Standard Version. Studied by all who delight in them, full of splendor and majesty in his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Mm. See, we have to remember, the writer says, we remember especially what he did in the once and for all sacrifice of his son Jesus on the cross. That's backwards worship. That's saying, I remember what you did for me. I remember that's you going backwards. That's you remembering what was done on your behalf. Watch this. Then he says, redemption, watch this, redemption accomplished is the theme of all of the songs that we should be singing. It should be the basis of our prayers, the central message of our teaching and our preaching. And it's also the basis for the Lord's Supper and for the benediction. Redemption ought to be the theme. And then the writer goes on to say, all that we do in worship is focused on the eschatological Christ. Now, I know somebody going to say, what you just say? I was waiting on Tanya to say, big word alert. That's okay. You're too late now. But eschatological is really short. The word is for eschatology. Eschatology, and it's just the part of theology that's concerned with the death, judgment, and destiny for our souls. That's what it's dealing with. That's what the death, burial, and resurrection of us. The death, our death, and judgment. That's what eschatology deals with. Got it? All right, let's keep going. He says, in this way, we can say that all worship has a forward-focused dimension to it. So the people of God are gathering as pilgrims, sojourning through the wilderness of this world. He says, as such, believers are hoping in the coming of Christ and to the city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. That's forward thinking. Come on now. That's forward thinking. You almost had it. You missed the H. You missed the H in you gonna make me say it wrong because you spelled it wrong. But it is eschatological. E-S-C-H. And then you got the rest. But the writer says this. He says, they acknowledge that they are strangers and exiles on earth. Everything we do in corporate worship is a confession that our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. Everything we do in corporate worship is a confession of where we really belong. Uh-oh. Sunday, I told the folk, your worship, what you worship and how you worship is your identity. How you praise is your identity. So if the Bible says magnify the Lord, what does a magnifying glass do? Oh, God. Y'all don't hear what I just said. If the Bible says, if we're told to magnify the Lord, if we're told to magnify the Lord and praise his holy name, if that's what we're told, how do you do that quietly? When someone says praise the Lord, how do you do that quietly? Then the writer says, then there is an inward dimension to worship. Uh-oh. In what the believers are to examine themselves when they come into the presence of God, as the author of Ecclesiastes explains. Come on now, watch this. Ecclesiastes 5 and 1. He says this. Guard your steps when you grow to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Come on now. How you praise is your identity. That's a T-shirt. Come on now. Thank you, Lisette. That's a T-shirt. Why don't you make me one? praise is your identity. Make it in black and white. That's all I need. How you praise is your. I'm stuck on that now. But what the writer is saying this is that when you go to God, you should examine yourself when they come into the presence. Because watch this. When you go to God, everything is exposed. You know, when you go into the airport and you have to walk through TSA and you go through the machines, when the purpose of them walking through the machine is to expose everything, watch this, and to expose anything that you should not have with you that does not belong. So what do you do before you go to TSA? You examine yourself. Huh? And see, the difference between God and TSA is you can hide some stuff from the TSA. You can't hide nothing from God. God exposes it all. You can put your 27 Cuban cigars in the bottom of your shoe and put some drawers and stuff on top of it, so if they decide to open up your bag, they don't want to go too far and look at it. So you can hide that, but you can't hide that stuff from God. But the purpose of going through that is to expose anything that should not be allowed there. The writer says, Jesus also teaches us that which we are to consider ways in which we may have offended a brother or sister. And that we are to make every effort to be reconciled to them prior to coming into gathered worship. That we are to make every effort to be reconciled to them prior to coming into gathered worship. Now, if I read that right, what I just heard was, before I come into worship with you, I need to make sure that we on one accord. I need to make sure that we still ain't walking around talking about if I see her in the parking lot, if I see him around the corner, if he say something to me, if he speak to me, it's on. He says this in Matthew 5:23-24. If you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. That's Matthew 5:23-24. What did I just read? Well, don't bring this stuff up here and you mad and you angry. You mad, but you finna write this check to the church so you can be mad and be walking around mad, and now you letting everybody know that I wrote this check to the church and they better be grateful and all that. You reconcile first. Make sure your heart and mind are ready before you write your check. I might have said something. The Apostle Paul calls believers to examine ourselves as we come to the supper. He said, this is why Sunday is first Sunday, right? Communion Sunday, as we call it. And I know when I've done communion, I've always tried to remind people of this, because it's so important that we do this right. Paul says, let a man examine himself. Then and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He goes on to say, because if you eat and drink of the cup unworthily, then you open yourself up for all kinds of stuff. Watch this. Stuff to you and your surroundings. So he says, so gathered worship has an inward aspect to it. He says the preaching and the benediction also bring with them an outward dimension of worship. The apostle explains the evangelistic nature of preaching in the gathered assembly when he writes, if therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, Will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart and disclosed are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. That's what prophets are supposed to do. Don't nobody want to walk into church and hear you talking about, I should have bought a Hyundai or eat a banana. If you want to touch people where they are, you need to pray to God before you open up your mouth that God will give you what to say to them. And that prophecy convicts them. They're called to account by what God puts in your mouth. And then they come to Jesus. The writer says this. He says, additionally, the people of God are to be equipped to carry out the Great Commission in the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. He says, when the ministry sends the people out of the worship service with the divine benediction, he is sending them with the blessing of God into the world to be a witness to the crucified and risen Christ. Communion, communion. The Lord's Supper contains all of these directions. The supper, or communion as we call it, is a sort of culmination to the worship of the people of God, taking the previous elements and bringing them into a concentrated focus on the central message of the scripture. So when we come to the table to feed on the bread and the wine, we are to look vertically to God to spiritually feed us with the flesh and blood of Christ. John 6:51. When we look horizontally at our brothers and sisters, come on now, and members of the same body, that's when we're horizontal. As we come to partake, we glance inward to examine ourselves. Come on now. I see your question, Kim Tony. I'm going to get to it in a minute. As we come to partake, we glance inward to examine ourselves as to whether we are partaking by faith and with love for the saints. Then we gaze backward to remember the sacrifice of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Let me pause. All right. Kim says, let me ask you, if you have a beef with someone at your church or you are not pleased with something going on at your church, are you not supposed to give offering and tithes or go to the altar? And if so, if you never resolve, do you never give or go to the altar? This is the second time this week I heard this. I might be oversimplifying this. All right, let me read what you read again with my other brain and answer your question. So let me see if I read what you're saying. You got beef with somebody or some people at church, you're not happy about the way something is going on at the church. So now you're going to give your offering. Here is what the Bible says. The Bible says, don't give begrudgingly. So, meaning, I'm going to write this check, but I know they ain't going to do nothing but mess it up. I'm going to get this money, but I know they ain't going to do nothing but mess it up. When it comes to communion, I got ought against my brother and sister. I got anger in my heart. No, you should not be giving, nor should you be giving, no more than you should be giving money angrily. Now, if it's just your own personal issues, this is why we have to understand belief versus reality. If your belief is a reality that something is really going wrong, then you need to address that and try to get some semblance of reconciliation / I hate the term closure because everybody don't get closure. Everybody does not get closure. And we spend too much time trying to get it. But what we can do, that's why we have to go back to let a man examine himself. Right? Let a man examine himself. When you look at that scripture, right? Let a man examine himself. Can we read it the way I'll just give you all of this real quick. So in 1 Corinthians 11, this is Jesus talking about communion and eating the Lord's Supper. He says this. When you come to this is 1 Corinthians 11, starting at the 20th verse. And he's talking about when you come together. This is what he says. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. 22 says, what? Have you not houses to eat or drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. He says, for I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, here we go. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and take and said, eat, this is my body, which I have broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. And ye do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now, verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse 27. Here's where we get in trouble. Here's where we get in trouble in the church. Here's where we get in trouble in our actions. Here's where we get in trouble with God. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For if he eat and drinketh unworthily, he eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning, meaning he don't give a about the Lord's body. Here are the consequences. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned of the world. So, again, when we come together, when we gather together, we ought to make sure that we are in, that we've examined ourselves first. When I walk up to the altar with my tithe and with my offering, yeah, it's great to show it in your hand. I know that's the way the old church used to do back in the day. Walk up and show it. I want my tithers, raise your hand. And wave that envelope. And that's, you know, I know that was more of church tradition than it had anything to do with God. But at the same time, it's not about you showing off. Preachers say, I need 10 people to give $100, and you run up to the front. Now, your running could mean a couple things. Your running could be in celebration that, you know what, I got it to offer God. I want to give it. Or is it a chance to be seen? Let me let them see me peel my $100 off. She said that's a sermon. Woo, Jesus. I know, right? I want us to get this. Let me finish this. The writer says, he says, then we gaze backward to remember the sacrifice of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. He says, we also look forward to the hope of the coming of Christ and to the great supper of the Lamb in glory. Jesus told his disciples at the first supper, which was ironically also the last supper, that he would not eat again with them until all was fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Luke 22 and 16. She says she just got it. That's a blessing. She says, finally, we are looking outward to the evangelistic mission God has given his people. He is feeding us to make us fruitful in the service of his kingdom, not to make us rich, but to make us fruitful in the service of his kingdom. When we come together in worship, we should do so aware of the multidimensional aspect of what we are gathering to do. The God who fills heaven and earth directs our attention to everything that he is and does outside of us, around us, and inside us. He says, in this way, no event is more participatory than what believers do the Lord's day and after the Lord's day. Then he says, may God enable us to enter into his thoughtfulness, preparation, awareness, and joy. Oh, that's a benediction. Look, it's at the end of the day, God does not, let me say this again. He does not need our worship. This ain't Zeus and Athena and Aphrodite and those gods that their powers. I used to read Greek mythology, so that's the only reason I know that crazy stuff. But their powers came from the people's worship. They got their energies and their powers from the people's prayers. Let me help y'all with something real quick. That ain't our God. Our God does not need our prayers to be God. He does not require our praise to be God. However, we do owe it to him. Owe him our praise. We owe him our participatory worship. We owe him our energy. We owe him the fire that's in us. We owe him that. We owe him that. There is a song, and I can't play it for my, I'm gonna have to download it for my people. It's part of my for my blog talk people. But there is a song by Beverly Crawford. And if I can find it, I thought I had it in my can't find it. All right. I thought I was going to be able to find it quickly. I guess not. But it's by Beverly Crawford, and it's simply entitled I Owe It All. I think it is Beverly Crawford. I might have the name wrong now that I think about it. But it is a song that just pretty much tells you, and the words of the song just it just puts it into perspective about how and why. It's called I Owe Everything. That's the name of the song. That's why I couldn't find it. It's typing the wrong name. It's not I Owe It All, because Norman Hutchins got a song called I Owe It All that's rough too. But I owe everything to Jesus. Can I just give y'all a little bit of that? Tanya, we good? We ain't got no memory issues, none of that? Okay, good. Let me give y'all a little bit of this. Hold on. So blog talk, I'm going to have to give y'all something else. I'm sorry, because I can't, y'all ain't going to be able to hear this on the radio side. So let me do this for my blog talk people. Let me do that. And let me do that.
So important, people of God.
For my blog talk people. All right. Y'all good over there. But for y'all over here on the book and on the social media stream and everything else, let me give y'all a little bit of this. This is Beverly Crawford. I owe everything to you. Just first of all, Moses Tyson is on the organ. I've never seen Moses Tyson play in my life. I tried to YouTube him a couple of times, and I found some stuff, but I wasn't sure if it was him. But this dude on this organ, Jesus Christ, I wish y'all would just, come on, I owe it all.
While I'm there thanking him, listen, I know that I have a right.
Y'all just worship for a minute.
Whatever I need, he will supply. I believe tonight somebody just wants him to open up the windows of heaven for you. Let it rain. Send down your blessings, Lord. I just need you to move in this place tonight. I just need you to move in this place tonight. He's doing it right now. Hallelujah. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain.
Yeah, come on, y'all.
Let it rain. Open.
Yeah, that's it. That's
the
it.
Floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Help me, somebody say it tonight.
Open the blood gates of
Oh,
feel the rain. I feel the rain. I feel the rain. Anybody feel the rain? Anybody in this place, you feel the rain?
I feel the rain.
Is there anybody in here, you feel the rain?
I feel the rain.
I feel the rain. Maybe you need to look at somebody and tell them, it's raining.
It's raining.
It's raining.